Now from the WSMR studios in Sarasota, Florida, I'm June LaBelle, and it's time for June LaBelle's Musical Conversations. This is the only place where you can hear classic music with classic musicians. I think we can safely say our musical conversations let you eavesdrop on some of the most entertaining and enlightening talk in the field. Our goal is to introduce you to great performers not only through their music, but also through their ideas. And since all our conversations are unscripted, you never know what someone will say. I'm so glad you're with us because our guest this week is the internationally renowned conductor Leonard Slatkin. Lenny is one of the world's best known and most recorded conductors. We were able to catch up with him this past season backstage at the Van Wezel when he was in Sarasota with the Detroit Symphony. Now, I've known Lenny for years, and because he's always been on the fly when we've done our interviews, I've thought of him as a peripatetic conductor. But when I said that to him this time, he let me know he is not in any way itinerant or roaming. He's got very deep roots.
My life has simplified a great deal because I have two orchestras. Now, for a lot of people, that sounds complicated, but it's actually much easier. It means that I'm not on a plane every week. So between my orchestra in Detroit, where I'm in the middle of my sixth season, and my other orchestra in Lyon, France, where I'm in the middle of the third season, what's happened is that I have fewer weeks now for guest conducting. And maintaining two homes is, for me, exactly the right thing at this point in my life.
The third movement from Brahms' Symphony No. 4 in a performance by the Detroit Symphony conducted by our guest, Leonard Slatkin. That recording, by the way, is from a special two-disc set featuring music from Detroit's 2014 Florida tour. It was during that tour that we were able to catch up with Leonard Slatkin. We'll be hearing more music and much more of our musical conversation with this very well-known conductor here on Classical WSMR. I'm June LaBelle. I'm June LaBelle, and as I said a few minutes ago, Leonard Slatkin is one of the world's most recorded conductors, and he's always been terrific at putting together projects involving American composers.
We have been in a project, which will be ongoing, of recording perhaps all of Copland's orchestral music, and it's begun with his six ballets. People don't know there are six, but there are. And, of course, other music of his has been incorporated for the dance. So the first volume came out with Billy the Kid and... Was that right? No, we didn't do Billy the Kid yet. We did Rodeo complete. And now we've just completed a disc that has Appalachian Spring and the three Latin American sketches that we're playing here and the very rarely performed Hear Ye, Hear Ye, which is quite a wonderful piece. And this will extend now where we will be doing all Copland discs, probably one or two a season, different music.
Thank you.
Excerpts from Aaron Copland's Rodeo and a recording of the complete ballet with the Detroit Symphony under the direction of our guest, Leonard Slatkin. But as you'll hear, there's lots more music.
We've issued a complete Rachmaninoff cycle. Downloadable, not for sale as hard disk, are a cycle of the Concerti by John Williams. There are some contemporary disks, including one of music of my wife, Cindy McTee, and one coming of music of Bright Sheng, who's teaching at the University of Michigan Ann Arbor. So we're very active there.
Actually, Leonard Slatkin is very active everywhere, not just on the podium.
Many of us drove here and went to Lakeland, which is where the Detroit Tigers have spring training. We went. We played the national anthem. I threw out the first pitch. Guess what team the Tigers played? St. Louis Cardinals. And there was a lot of pressure on me to really make a choice here, but I don't have to yet for a couple of reasons, one of which everybody knows I hate American League rules, really don't like designated hitter. But they also know that my family goes back to 100 years of being St. Louisans. So there's a historical support. On the other hand, I'm a Detroiter. I love the city. I'm thrilled to be there. I love the orchestra. So I can comfortably support both teams unless they meet in the World Series, which they did in 2006, but I wasn't director in Detroit yet, so that wasn't a problem. We came pretty close last season to that happening, and based on what I saw in early spring training, it could happen again. And if it does, I can guarantee you one thing. I will be out of the country and no one will know. I feel this kind of energy that, and also the pastoral, beautiful element that occurs. And I would say it's in Schubert 9. I don't know. I can't explain quite well. Just off the top of my head, I feel that drive, the racing around that has to happen. But I also feel the calmness of what happens when you go to a baseball park. As George Collin used to say, you know, football, you go to the stadium or the arena. In baseball, you go to the park. In football, the idea is to get into the end zone. In baseball, the idea is to go home.
Thank you.
Now, there's something you don't hear every day. Schubert's Ninth Symphony accompanying a baseball game. Why? Well, because our guest, Leonard Slatkin, associates this particular symphony with America's favorite pastime. Of course, Lenny is a baseball nut. He loves the game and sometimes can be heard calling color for games when he's not on the podium conducting, that is. This would only happen in one of our musical conversations and only here on Classical WSMR. We'll find out more about some unusual things Leonard Slatkin is doing these days after a short seventh-inning stretch. I'm June LaBelle. We're listening to a musical conversation on Classical WSMR. I'm June LaBelle, and our guest is conductor Leonard Slatkin. Things are changing. Concerts are getting friendlier, and so are the musicians. Conductors often turn and talk to the audience. As a matter of fact, Leonard Slatkin has started inviting his audiences to use their cell phones, not to make calls, of course, but he wants us not to be as restricted to certain concert etiquette as we once were. And things are changing within the orchestras themselves.
Detroit, as I'm sure everybody knows, is not a city particularly out of the woods yet in terms of its economic situation, various other things. And 2.5 years ago, we had a rather devastating strike. It lasted for 6 months. But during that strike, everybody was talking, and the talk was always about what happens when this is over. What's our next set of steps? And working in conjunction with the orchestra, with the board, with management, we all had a plan for what we would be like when we came back. And that plan included being much more accessible to our audiences, both at home, within our community, nation, and worldwide. We broadcast each of our subscription concerts live on the internet. We have a video team that comes in and does this. Robotic cameras are now in. That means that we're seen worldwide. Sometimes 30,000 people will watch a broadcast. The orchestra agreed that the definition of the word audience has changed. It's no longer just about the people in the hall. It's a global audience. And when we embarked on our Florida tour, we were looking for a couple things that would make us just a little bit different. Not perhaps in the music we played or even the way we played it, but the way we presented ourselves. So what I do, and just on this particular tour, I'm not going to do it every place, I'm not going to do it at home. It's the middle of February. It's cold up north. And I guess in one way we wanted to connect with so many people in our home by having people take a picture of the orchestra if they wished and us just to share with their friends. Here they are. In the beautiful weather, listening to the orchestra where these other folks are. So I simply do this after we finish the main portion of our program, ask them to take out the phones, turn them on, take the ringtones out, and feel free to do whatever. You walk into almost any concert hall in the world, you get ready for the concert, and what happens? A voice comes on. What does it tell you? No photographs. Turn your cell phones off. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Negatives, admonishments. Shouldn't we start giving our audiences just a little more credit? And I just want to have a little bit of fun. Let them enjoy the moment, let them share it. Our musicians love it. They are seen by more people. We make more friends this way. Yeah, it's not something to be done in the middle of a Beethoven symphony or anything like that. Of course not. But as at a moment that occurs just before the encore and even during it, it's perfectly fine. It doesn't bother us.
Thank you.
Music from Aaron Copland's Dance Panels, a ballet composed in 1959 and revised in 1962, and performed on that recording by the Detroit Symphony under the direction of Leonard Slatkin. Maestro Slatkin, to give him a more formal title than Lenny, has been our guest on this musical conversation. It was good catching up with him again, and we're so glad he was able to bring his orchestra from Detroit to Sarasota's Van Wezel. We'll have more fun and music on our musical conversation next week at this time, and we look forward to having you here too. This is Classical WSMR, and I'm June LaBelle.
This program was produced for WSMR by June LaBelle and Ed Alley. I'm Mark with a C, Hayes with a Z. I'm the technical guy. I got help from Dustin Hapley. We'd love to hear from you. You can email June at imjunelabelle@gmail.com. LaBelle is spelled L-E-B-E-L-L. We have a Facebook page. It's June LaBelle's Musical Conversations. And you can follow June on Twitter at imjunelabelle. The show is produced at the Broadcast and Performance Studio of WSMR in Sarasota. We hope you'll join us next week.